I thank Minecraft for the reason that I got into computer science, and now I am like a nearly full-time developer. And through Rising, like, I feel they encouraged that. I mean, they did that amazingly with Rising 2. Like, every team that was in Rising 2 is such a delight to talk to and to be around. They're all amazing. Join this game. This is insane. Like, you're going to lose your mind. That's the reaction I want to get when I'm making a game, when I'm making an event like this. The particles and sounds in Minecraft are horribly disorganized. They're organized alphabetically, and there's no good, like, resource to find them. So I made some good tools as well, too.
Alright lads, welcome back to Midweek MC, part of the podcast where I sit down with the amazing co-host who sadly isn't here today because we're recording on a Tuesday, which is my decision again. I know, I'm a very busy guy, okay, and more so because I'm going to the hospital tomorrow with my family, so it means that, just in case I'm not home in time. Anyways, point is, still got a guest on today as per usual, and today's guest is pretty cool. They're actually on the podcast due to an invitation at TwitchCon. Didn't actually really know much about them or their content. I was like, you know what, let's just invite them on for the sake of inviting him on. I am joined with the amazing Dijon Mustard.
Hello, what's up?
Hello, how are you?
Yo, I'm doing good. That is true. We did meet at TwitchCon, didn't we?
We did. I actually knew everything about you. I just wanted to, like, you know, humble you in the intro, but I actually knew every. I was like, I've been your biggest fan for like a few years now.
Right.
I actually I've always wanted to ask you a question, and now I have the opportunity to. So I'm like, please, can I ask it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What came first, the Dijon Mustard or the Dijon Mustard?
What do you mean by that?
What came first? Okay. You or the Dijon? If you search up
Dijon Mustard. Oh, like Mustard, the content?
If you search up Dijon Mustard on Google, even if you spell it your way, there is Dijon Mustard. What came first? You or the Dijon Mustard?
Oh, me or like the condiment? Like the condiment itself?
Well, yeah, the Dijon Mustard or the Dijon Mustard?
It's actually a really funny story because, what is it? Like, people always say it. Yeah, people always say that, what is it? Oh, it's like Dijon like the mustard, right? And that's how I introduced myself. It's like Dijon like the mustard. It actually didn't start with the mustard. It's a really obscure French village called Dijon that I found one day, and through like a complete like process of events where I was trying to come up with a username when I wanted to go live, I remember that little town, and it was this really stupid inside joke with friends, and I named myself after it. And then later I realized, oh, like mustard, that's so funny.
It's actually really funny. Like, as of recently, there's been so many fun facts I've had. Like, I've been able to relate to guests so much. So we've been to Spain 3 times, and we've drove every single time. And on the 3rd time going, we actually stayed in a hotel in Dijon. So I know
really?
What Dijon is. Yeah, we stayed in a hotel there.
But you've been to the home.
Yeah, I've been to your name. Oh my god, what? It was by the if anyone somehow knows about Dijon, it's by the shopping center. There's like, I think it's like an Abyss hotel. It's like a good few years ago now. If it's still there, this was like back in like 2019-ish. But we stayed in that hotel just for the night and then drove off to Spain the next day.
Yeah, that's amazing actually. Dude, what's so funny is that I went to TwitchCon Paris, and I 100% had this plan where I was going to drive on the last day down to Dijon, and I was going to take a selfie there. But then I realized that like a 6-hour round trip and also like renting a car and everything is not worth their likes, and I had to leave.
And you had to assume you was going to get those their likes as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What? Imagine if I did that. Imagine if I drove 3 hours. I took like one picture. It's like 6 likes.
And fucking likes. Yeah, exactly. It's not worth it at all.
It's one of the like final things on my bucket list. I have to go to City of Dijon and take a picture there and make some stupid joke.
Before we get into talking more about you and your name and mustard, I guess, I always like to give the introduction here for you to let us know who you are. You've done it. You're off to a great start there.
Oh, yeah.
But who are you? What do you do? If you have a fun fact for us today, maybe.
What's up? Yeah, my name is Dijon. I am a Minecraft developer. I'm a software developer. By trade, I am a computer science student. I'm currently actually an intern at this cybersecurity firm where I live. And on the side, I develop Minecraft plugins. I develop mods. I develop really anything I can code into the game. I started off with data packs like 5 or 6 years ago before I was even making content. And then I just thought it would be fun to make plugins and integrate them into streams. Sort of riffing off of that old trend of Minecraft but, right? I used to see a lot of people doing that, of Minecraft but random items, or Minecraft but you can look somewhere and you can change something, you know, it's like these really simple ideas. And I was thinking, those are so easy to code. Like, those are really easy to make. And I kind of had that experience, and I tried that, and it worked, and it was great. And I streamed for about 2 years, and for the last 2 years I've transitioned from that into working on events, working on plugins for some big servers you might have heard of, and just kind of trying to push the game as far as I can. I'm working on my own server now. It's a massive Call of Duty Zombies remake that I wish I had that I wish I had more to show from. It's still pretty like deep in development, but just kind of making things in this game has been where I've been headed. Been really fun.
And it's all stuff we're gonna cover today.
Yeah, been great. And I also applied to Rising with some friends,
which we'll talk about a little bit later on.
Yeah,
with in the least weird way possible here. What country do you live in?
It's like semi-public-ish. I'm in the Middle East. I don't usually say.
Okay,
where.
That's what I need to know. I don't even need to know that country, because when you said about going to France and stuff, I've never assumed where. I just know it is in England or America.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's funny actually, because I was in this project and someone 100% assumed I was French because of the Dijon name, and when I told them that I wasn't, they got really, really disappointed. Like, you'd be surprised how often people get disappointed that I'm not French. Like, I'm really sorry, it was just a funny name.
I would never be disappointed in you, Dijon.
Oh, thank you Insane Orbit.
No,
that's awesome.
So obviously you covered it a little bit there in the intro about where the name came from. Is that like the full story? Is it literally just because you went to the same thought it'd be a funny name, or is that a little bit like more lore to it?
There's a bit. I mean, I kind of expressed like all of it. It's as most names come from, it was a really stupid inside joke. I can't give the full story without fully doxing myself, because a lot of those old usernames are still out in the internet, and you know, like, I've got my name tied to them and everything. But it was this culmination of a bunch of different usernames that eventually found its way to being like condiment themed. I had this one username that was like something ketchup, and then this account was actually supposed to be an alt. I wanted to make an alt for all my stuff that I was working on, and I was like, oh, you know, I had ketchup, I can go mustard. And then I remembered the French village, and I'm like, oh yeah, Dijon mustard, oh, it's perfect, it's all coming together. And I made Dijon, and I started streaming, and eventually now that other account is like long gone. It's been, I'm pretty sure I've purged that whole thing, because I eventually just moved everything to this, and now I am Dijon mustard. It's such a like long history of usernames, and I'm so sad that I can't give the full story, because a lot of them are still on the internet. But it went from like Disney TV shows, I named myself like Heinz Doofenshmirtz once. Like, it was, and then actually, you know, you could probably get the connection from there. I got Heinz, and then ketchup, and then to this.
That's a fun little,
but
yeah.
It's there's a whole network of like information that goes through my usernames. But I ended up on Dijon. I'm happy with it. Nice.
I must say, in the nicest way possible, you've not been amazing with branding in your time, have you? Like, if I search up Heinz Doofenshmirtz on Google, I don't think your channel's gonna show up. If I search up Dijon and mustard, I don't think your channel's gonna show up. So as much as it's funny, and obviously you're here today, it's not been the best, has it?
No, absolutely not. No. it's really something I've been working on recently. We spoke about this like the podcast a little bit, but it's so disappointing to me that a lot of the stuff I do isn't permanent. And that's actually something that I tell to a lot of other creators. I guess this is kind of more of a tangent into like advice, but
good place. We have time. This is fun.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. This is like something I see a lot of people do, and a lot of my friends do. And I kind of try and tell them, I try to get them to stop, because I've seen kind of the damage that it causes, especially on my own channel, which is streaming is really fun. And I streamed for, like I said, like 2 years. It's a ton of clips on my channel from all the other events that I used to do. I used to do these massive 100 player events. I used to do Minecraft Butt series. I used to, you know, my own events, working on other people's events. But after a while, you realize that Twitch isn't as sustainable as you'd think in a portfolio sense. Like, you could go through my clips, I guess, if you want, but that's so much effort, and they're also disorganized, and none of, you know, you can't even sort by time. You have to sort by like popularity, and that gets all the old clips up. It's a mess, right? And that makes it really hard to pitch yourself to other people and to say what you do. And literally up until like a few months ago, I didn't notice that was a problem. And then I realized like it's an issue. So even now I've started to change that. I've started to collect the biggest projects that I have in one place. Actually, it's funny. This is kind of the first time I'm mentioning this in a public sense. I'm working on my own website as well, Ooh. Where I can host the stuff I find, you know, to make it a bit easier when you search Dijon mustard or like something I can send to people. My Twitter is a nice like collection of what I do, but even then it's not cumulative, and I feel like it's been going well so far. But that's something that I tell to basically any creator that I can right now, especially my friends, which is streaming is so fun, streaming is great, but if you don't have a permanent place in something, if you don't have like a link you can send to someone and say, this is me, or if, you know, you're just focusing on Twitch streams, like, that gets so hard to maintain. I have a friend right now who's killing it streaming. He's doing amazingly, but doesn't have any videos. He doesn't have any TikTok, anything. And, you know, it gets a bit weird, because then it starts getting content pilled and you're like, you gotta monetize it all and you gotta put it on TikTok and YouTube shorts. And, like, you know, like, it all sounds weird, but at the end of the day, it's kind of the best way to keep your brand alive. Like, you need permanence. And that's something I regret. That is genuinely my biggest regret in content, is that I didn't make most of what I did permanent. It's like I have had great memories and a lot of great fun streaming, but damn, if I could have stored some of that stuff, made YouTube videos, something like that, I think that would be like way better.
Hello, Inside MC. What? I feel like I've hit the nail on the head with Inside MC then, after everything you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything. The thing, there's something else that we're working on, the blog. I mean, Inside MC is like everywhere. I feel like a lot of people said it.
That's something you guys are doing really well. I mean, well, no. Inside MC, you've got all the YouTube videos and all the actual podcasts there, so you're fine. No, but you've got the blog and everything. I've seen everything that, like...
What I mean really is, cool. Like, whenever I reach out to someone, if I talk to someone, they're like, yeah, like, I was just scrolling through Twitter, and you're like, you just pop up all the time, and I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, like, Inside MC is just everywhere. I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
That's very cool. I'll take that. It's me. It's like, sick, obviously, yeah. Everyone works, so everyone helps, and everyone does an amazing job, and we all have our different roles in the team. But in regards to, like, the Twitter and everything, and the podcast and everything, is genuinely just me, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you've done a great job.
Thank you. With that, and I had a question, but it's gone off my head now because you went on to so many different tangents there. Which is great. I love it.
The ADHD is going to be so prevalent.
No, it's great. It's fun to talk about it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how did you then get into Minecraft? Like, what was your decision making to play this wonderful game?
Minecraft. Oh, it's been a it's been a big part of my life for so long. I'm sure a lot of people say that. They're like, we've been playing for like 10 years and all that. But it's true for me. I remember the update that I started playing, and it was because I remember getting on one day on my little survival world, on my laptop that I was using, and I remember anvils and withers being added. I was like, someone modded my game. What? I was so confused, and it was that's how I remember. I started in 1.3, and then I've just kind of been playing and consuming the content my whole life, just like in all the different forms that Minecraft takes. You know, that's something I always say, is that Minecraft isn't just a game that's like survive and build a house and all that, and that's what it is on the cover, but it's this infinite sort of canvas of game development and art and like survival and challenges. Like, you can go into really whatever you want. You know, you can play, like, this is kind of speaking from when I was a kid, but you could have played an adventure map, you could have gone on Hypixel mini games or the Hive or like a Mindflex, like, rest in peace. You could have started your own survival world, you could have made a creative world, you could have even coded your own stuff. Minecraft's actually the thing that got me into computation, like, you know, as a whole, as a computer science. I remember building small redstone traptions, trying to figure those out, and, you know, copying like Seth Bling's videos and trying to follow tutorials. And that's what got me interested in programming. And then I eventually learned Java after that, and it was just been headfirst into development since then. And it's literally like, I thank Minecraft for the reason that I got into computer science, and now I am like a nearly full-time developer. It all started with that. It started with Redstone. And I think that's what's kept me attached to the game for so long. It's that you can make anything. You can make a massive multiplayer server if you want to. You can make a small Redstone door if that's what you're into. You can, you know, build pixel... Like, this is stuff I used to do. I could build pixel art. I could try and get up the leaderboards in some random minigame server. I could follow a tutorial. I could start a new survival world. It's infinite, you know? And I think I really love that.
And that's what makes the game so good. That's interesting though, when you said about helping you with your science, or like, sorry, getting you into computer science. Like, I understand that Minecraft has had an impact on a lot of lives, and games in general have had impact on a lot of lives. Yeah, I mean, I own a Minecraft podcast, but like, to say it here that like it got you into literally coding and dev work and everything that you do now in this sense is crazy to
hear. Yeah, it was definitely the spark. Sorry, there were a lot of other factors as well, like just other projects that I got involved in, other games too that I would start modding. But it all started there. It all started with Redstone. It was so cool. It's, you don't realize how much. The thing is, I had this moment when I was sitting in a. This is like a college class. This is my year two logic design class, where they're teaching about like circuit boards and designing like actual CPUs, right? And at the end of the course, we had to make our own CPU, and it was this whole. It's like a really challenging course, and you don't realize how much of an impact Minecraft had on your life when you're sitting in a college course and you look at the board and you're like, oh, that's like an Etho Hopper clock. They were teaching series resistors and gates, OR gates, and I was just here thinking like, wait, no, I've done this, like this is redstone. Like I was doing this when I was 11. It was insane, and I would be talking to other people in that class and they'd all be like, yeah dude, that's redstone, like what, like that's insane.
They had a big advantage because you played Minecraft, who would have thought?
Not that I'd say not a big advantage. That was still a hard
okay,
class.
I was trying to big you up, all right? Okay, my bad, sorry.
Yeah. No, but it was cool. It was nice seeing, like, things I had learned from this block game in use in a profession that, like, I want to do for the rest of my life. Really cool.
And then what about like this community? I know it's a little bit more of a specific question, but since I started off as Bedrock Creator and then I decided to kind of move over to Java, there's a long story I won't repeat it because I say it all the time on podcasts, but what was like your entrance into, and by community, I guess I mean the friends you have today, the friends you applied to Rising with, how did you get here?
Oh, that's a good question.
One of them.
I really started in my own bubble, and that's another thing I really regret. I kind of started just streaming on my own, finding the times that worked, making a Discord server. I had like a few friends, but I wouldn't call them friends. They were just kind of other streamers that I could like joke with. But after a while, I met another guy who you've also interviewed on the podcast. If you know Aragon Telly.
Oh, do I? I think I've heard of them somewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I have like, I think they did a jumper once that I bought. I can't.
Yeah.
Like shrimp. like the shrimp one. I think. So yeah, I think it's them.
Yeah. We took a few pictures.
Yeah, one or two. I think we had like. But then that group photo of like all podcast, now technically all podcast guests,
maybe,
right?
Yeah. But dude, I want to, this is such a side tangent. I really want to quote tweet that. I want to quote tweet that message now and be like, well, well, well.
Do it right now on the podcast.
I honestly will. Hold on.
Do it right now. Right now.
Let me find it.
Oh my god, it's actually like a full image of guests now. Hold on. Because even Rafe at the time wasn't a guest.
Oh shit.
So like when this tweet came out, obviously all the three people in the picture were guests. Like Kaelin. Kaelin was just about to be announced. They hadn't been announced yet. And they got announced after. Rafe was booked in but hadn't been announced. And then obviously Maddie, Oak Laz, etc. had all come on. So
nice. Oh, now it's perfect. There we go. It's full.
But yeah, no, that yeah. We'll get into talking about that more. But yeah, sorry, as you were saying about the whole meeting Aragon and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I met Aragon. I remember it was literally at the mercy of the Twitch algorithm. I just found him on my recommended, and I went in his chat and I was like, hey man, what's up? And I became a regular in his chat, and then we spoke a bit. He checked out my stream. I like stayed watching his streams, and then we just kind of became friends after that. We had a lot of fun together. It was nice, and he introduced me to a lot of other people, and that's when I kind of found out about the MCYT. And like of course I was aware of like the bigger creators. I was a big Tommy Init fan like back then. As you can probably tell from a lot of my old clips, but I wasn't aware like the smaller community of streamers, everyone trying to like make their way to the top, you know, everyone trying to make their own stuff, put out, like, express themselves through this game, through streaming. I had only ever really seen other like small streamers on Twitch, you know, and this was actually when I made a Twitter account. Aragon is kind of the reason I have Twitter, and it's because he did some sort of like poll. I can't remember what it is. He did like a mayoral election poll for his SMP, and he was like, everyone vote. And I made a Twitter account so I could vote on that. And it spiraled into my Twitter presence now. But yeah, I love this community, man. It has its ups and downs, definitely. Like, there's a lot wrong with it, but there's also a lot, like, you'll find some of the most creative, influential, inspiring people, you know, if you just kind of, if there's one thing I could tell myself back, like, when I was way younger, it would be just, like, break out, like, meet more streamers, man. Meet more people who think like you, because they're all out there. And I'm so grateful that I was able to, like, meet them now. And now applying to Rising with them. Sick.
Not to big up my ego here, but when you say think like me, what do you mean?
Oh, what do you mean? Like finding people who think like you?
Yeah, you literally just said it there about the whole, not to get an ego boost, but I'm curious, what do you mean by that?
Oh, I mean, well, I didn't mean you specifically.
Oh,
I just meant like...
sorry. Well, you said you. Oh, you mean think like you, as in, oh, I get you.
As in, like, generally.
Sorry.
Yeah, like find people who think like you, kind of. That's what I meant.
Well, I was just, okay, right, my bad, okay. Sorry, so I think it's okay. I went in my rights to get that confused.
Yeah, it's okay, you think pretty good too.
Cheers, mate, I appreciate it. It means a lot to me, I must say.
Great.
We're going to leave like the coding and dev talk till last, because I think it's your biggest thing. And because while it's on topic, we might as well carry on talking about what we're talking about right now. You've referenced it quite a lot. I think it's quite a big topic on our minds right now. This podcast comes out on the 14th. So either about now or within the next 2 days, we will probably know if we're in MCC Rising. That's just an assumption. We might not know. Who knows? But MCC Rising, your application, you did it with who?
I did it with Aragon, Nuke, and BitSquid. They're three pretty good friends. And I'm really excited that it kind of came down to them. I was worried that I would have to find like people I didn't know that well, but it was literally just the perfect storm of like best friends. It's awesome.
How was that team formed?
It was pretty good. It was nice. It was it was me and Nukri in the beginning. We were just kind of trying to like figure out who we both knew really well, because of course, like, the thing is with MCC, you don't want to apply with someone you don't know, because then it's just not fun. I've done that twice before, actually. The first MCC, it's private on my YouTube channel, thank God. But it's just three guys and me. Like, you can tell so badly that it's like there's nothing there. It was just three guys that I DM and was like, hey, this seems cool. And we did it, and it was the worst experience ever, just recording it too, because none of us knew each other that well. We were all like in a group SMP, you know, like it was one of the first SMPs I joined. And I was like, hey guys, you know, be a good idea. Sure. And we did it, and it was well edited, and it was flashy, but it was just, you know, bad. Like, that's, and then MCC Rising 2 happened, and I did it with some closer friends, one of them being BitSquid. He was maybe the one I knew most in the group. And then, you know, that also kind of fell off, because we were clearly just doing it like for the MCC, if that makes sense. Like, put as much effort into it and as much editing and as much craziness as possible. And after a while, you realize that there's not really a point in applying to, I mean, this doesn't just say anything for MCC. This is like kind of global for all events. There's no point in trying to join something that you don't already have like a connection with. And I say this for SMPs, for any project that any creator is willing to join. Don't make like the fame and the name first on your priority list, because it really doesn't matter. I mean, being like with this line of work, I've had the privilege of seeing a lot of SMPs on the back end. And obviously I have to be confidential. I can't like say what happens, but it's like 90% of issues always happen because these guys aren't friends. Like people do these big collaborations, and it's you can clearly tell that there's no connection between them, that people were picked because of big number or because of, you know, maybe they have like really good editing, but there, you can't fake chemistry. You can never fake chemistry. You can never fake like friendship. And it's so painfully obvious in all these videos. You know, it's like
chemistry, it's sad to say.
It's all, yeah. And that's why I really push for these friend SMPs. I mean, After Hours, if you've seen that recently, that's been so much fun. It is literally just a group of friends. Fireside, if you remember, was an SMP we started a few like months ago. Well, months ago, I guess, like,
oh, the fire. Like,
yeah, maybe like over half a year ago now. We started that. It didn't last too long, but the time that we had on it, so much fun. Literally just having those like friend connect work. I guess I've kind of gone off track at this piece of, but that leads back into like
about it. I don't mind.
That leads back into MCC, and I kind of just realized if I'm not going to apply with people I'm close with, then I was probably just gonna sit this one out, which is why I'm so happy like Nuke messaged me, and Nuke's another really close friend. He said let's do it, and then we got Bit as well, because Nuke and I both knew Bit, and I had a lot of history with Bit, and then we were like, damn, who else, you know, because Ara was busy at the time. And we actually genuinely, I'm not even kidding, we just considered ending the team right there, because we thought like there were people who we could have added, but it was people that none of us really knew that well,
but yeah,
we
wouldn't
get along with. And we just thought like best case scenario, we get in with a kind of disjointed group, worst case scenario, it doesn't out well. And we just kind of thought like, you know, what's really the point? And then like an angel from the heavens, you know, like Aragon messages us, turns out he's freed up, turns out he's decided he can actually do it, and we're like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it. We went for it, and we just got on a world, and we played for like an hour, and we recorded the funny bits, and that's the video. So whatever happens, I mean, it was really fun to do, honestly, and If anything, right? This sort of like MCC, what's the word? Like this sort of like MCC rising trend. I don't want to call it a trend. I guess like, because I can't find the right word, but everyone's doing MCC now and everyone's focusing on trying to get into rising. If it teaches people one thing, it's that please, please value friendship and chemistry over anything else. Like I can't live through another SMP that is just filled with people who like haven't met each other, you know? I feel like that chemistry and that friendship pushes people so far to the realm of like what they want to create rather than trying to fake it and trying to do all these random things and like raise the stakes and raise the editing. It's like, just get your friends on. Just get your friends on a Minecraft server. And I feel like that's sort of the best thing you can do.
It's a bit like when, like with, for instance, with the channel, they have this sort of finding MTC, our teammates. Like I understand why they do it, but if I'm honest, I wonder if it's actually ever worked. I don't think a single team that's got in has ever made an application through that. Because yeah, it's great, but then you miss that. If you can make a good team out together and you can instantly click with someone, and so be it. And also it can be used to like find new people and meet new friends. But with like, for instance, the Inside MC application, which I mean I'm interested to hear your thoughts on if you have any, it was literally just it's a team. It's me, it's Roman who does research, it's Bendo who helps cast and does some edit, and it's I'm joking, it's Rory Animates who does the animation. So you know, it's a pretty good team. We all work together, we all could like talk, combine thoughts and shit, and we're gonna do coverage on MTC Rising as well.
Yeah, I feel like that's the best thing, you know? It's, you guys all know each other and you already have that history with MCC. Like, I really feel like you guys have an amazing chance, honestly. And I've seen the application, it's really great. Like, literally seeing that chemistry on screen, like, it's obvious. It's something you can't fake. And it's really sad because, you don't want to tell people, oh, don't do this application, don't do that and this and that, and put all these restrictions on it. Because at the end of the day, MCC is such a freeing sort of like environment. At least I've heard from, like, I have a few friends as well who were in Rising 2. It's such a wholesome, accepting, encouraging environment. And I really commend Nox Crew for trying to push that out into the community, right? Through things like Rising. And I think people are getting the idea now because every team who's got in has a similar, like, fun, wholesome. No, I wouldn't want to say wholesome. I'm trying to say like an accepting, mature personality, right? They're people who aren't going to go on Twitter and start like hating on others. They're people who aren't going to start hating on others, even like privately. They're clearly a really encouraging, really nice group of people. And I think the more that Nox Crew kind of emphasizes that these are the people who get in our events, right? I feel like it's really cool in that way because it spreads more positivity in the community. It shows that this is the attitude that you should have if you want to, you know, like be successful in this industry. You need to throw away the kind of hating idea. You need to throw away the toxicity and just do what you love with the people you love, right? It's powerful in a way. Like they have such a, like they're obviously a very popular tournament, and it's so cool that they're kind of pushing that, I wouldn't want to say pushing, they're really encouraging that personality down to everyone who's playing, right? They're just saying, make an application with your friends, have fun. And that's, I think, how it should be for a lot of projects, honestly.
And everyone they've added in the last one, especially MCC Rising 2, I must say, like, they did an amazing job of adding people who were going to bond well with the other teams. I'm not speaking on other bit, but maybe there's like one or two teams that didn't so much. I mean, I don't think so. No. I think every single team did an amazing job. We don't see behind the scenes, right? That's my assumption, is from behind the scenes. But you know, like all the teams publicly, or like the majority of teams, did so well bonding with each other, and that's what they want. They want people who are gonna bond with the other 9 teams in the event, not people who are gonna be like, oh, are gonna give the vibes of they're gonna try hard, are they gonna stand out, are they gonna do this, are they gonna do that. They want people who are just genuine. So
exactly, yeah, you know, it's genuine, like fun. It's also really what's the word, like, it's really refreshing seeing an organization as big as Nox Crew and as big as MCC constantly trying to push out that positivity and trying to show the community that, like, you can just be you, just make what you make, have fun doing it, do it with people that you care about, and that is what will bring you to success, and that's what will bring you to even your own definition of success, right? Like, I don't even think everyone is chasing numbers. If your definition of success is that you invent, like, you know, you make a cool game in Minecraft, or you do a ton of like really interesting streams that you've had in mind. Hell, even like maybe on the development side, you make a cool plugin that all the people use, right? It's not always about that like big number idea. I think Nox Crew is trying to push the concept of just make things with your friends, have fun, you know? And through Rising, like, I feel they encourage that. I mean, they did that amazingly with Rising 2. Like, every team that was in Rising 2 is such a delight to talk to and to be around. They're all amazing.
I mean, I met a bunch of people. I can't stress enough, and I always say this, like, Errington, like, he's like someone I absolutely love talking to, and then I met them because it was in Rising. I had no clue who they were. I had no clue what the Channel 60 Verizon B was. Anything. Like,
yeah.
And obviously Wedbox and everyone else. So many cool people. And then
oh, they're awesome mostly, yeah.
From that though, let's talk a little bit about TwitchCon. That's how we met. Why don't we talk about I never normally do this on podcasts. Let's talk about our meeting. So let me hear your side of it. And then your side of it? TwitchCon, me, anything you want to talk about, and then I'll share mine.
I've got something to admit to you, actually.
Oh, no.
When you were... Okay, this was outside the convention.
Was this on day zero?
Day zero, yeah. It was the day we took that picture.
Oh, no.
What happened was I was just kind of hanging around. Like, it was... Our group was me, Nuke, Ara, Wade, and...
And Sushi.
I was just...
Okay, about Sushi.
And Sushi... My bad. Yeah, and Sushi as well. That was kind of like our group that we went to the event with. And I was just kind of looking around, like a little bit confused. And then I see you walk up and you say something about like picture and all that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like some group thing. And I 100%, I don't know how I got this in my head. I totally thought you said something about Block Wars. I thought you were like one of the Block Wars organizers.
Oh.
Like I 100% thought, because I heard something about like, oh, I'm getting a picture with all the, and you obviously said like podcast members.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought Block Wars members. So I was like, I got the same idea either way. Because like Nuke has been in Block Wars and I haven't. So I was just like, oh, okay. This one out. And then you guys invited me in for the picture. And I was like, oh, awesome. And then Nuke tells me a second after, he's like, oh no, that was for the podcast.
Oh, well, you are Nuke. You said it to Nuke. Is that cool?
Yeah. And then it was like, no, it's Inside MC. I was like, oh.
You can be honest with this as well. Did you know what?
Yeah.
Did you know what Inside MC was as well? I know.
I knew what Inside MC was. Yeah, yeah. Because I knew that. I knew that Aaron and Nuke were on it, and they were telling me about it.
Oh, cool.
That was fun.
That's so funny, actually. Not like that.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's fine.
It was interesting.
I just walked up and I said, like, my thing was like, I walked up and I said, oh, I'm trying to get a picture. And I was like, yeah, sure. Yeah, like, I said, I was like, no, I was like, come on. He's like, one, I was like, yeah, just get, you might as well just be in the picture. I'm not going to kick you out of it.
Come on.
He's like, okay, then.
I don't know where Block Wars came to my head. Like, well, I have no idea.
I understand it, though. Like, Block Wars was like, there's a bunch of people from Block Wars there. And a lot of people were also kind of like, I mean, like, I think it was it Creavers? Oh, I think it was Creavers. Was handing like a bunch of Block Wars stickers. So they were there as like Block Wars. I think next TwitchCon, I'm probably going to do more with Inside MC, with like handing, like, and I've already said it, like, I have plans for like stickers and pins to hand out, which is gonna be pretty cool. So we'll see.
That'll be sick. Have you ever thought about doing like an IRL episode? I wanted the TwitchCons.
Might try and attempt to get a panel, not sure yet, but we might, see an Inside MC panel possibly.
A panel could be cool as well, yeah.
Yeah, we were gonna do an IRL podcast, but I don't have the grounds to buy like a camera and a mic and stuff like that. With like, I've said this before, I earn under triple digits on podcasts and I put over triple digits into the podcast. So that kind of just sums up where that's at right now. But I love it to fucking pieces. I said it to someone earlier today. I was like, I fucking love Inside MC so much. It's my pride and joy. Like, I wouldn't change anything.
That's fair. Yeah, that's, I mean, honestly, that's like what keeps it going, dude. That's what's like most important. And I can tell, dude. I can tell how much you put into it. I remember from like the really, really early episodes as well when, I think, you know, actually, I heard of Inside MC when when Ant Venom came on. I remember that because I thought it was this, like, because I saw Ant Venom on it and I was like, whoa, what is this, like, massive, like, I thought it was this massive, massive, huge podcast with this, like, because I mean Ant Venom, he's like a no I
what the heck?
Let me explain what I meant by that. Listen, I thought it was like a company. Like, I thought it was like a media. Like, I thought it was a genuine, like, media publication.
Right? I'll tell you, that's a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I thought it was something, like, a lot bigger. When I found out that it was just, it was you and the guys, like, working on putting out this podcast, best quality possible, I thought, like, damn, that's really impressive. Like, it's genuinely extremely impressive. And
Did you know
cool following it.
That 9 out of 11 members of the podcast team signed up to MCC Rising? Wait, no. Have I done my maths wrong yet? 10 out of 11 people, sorry, of the podcast team signed up to MCC Rising. There are 6 different applications out there. The Inside MC team, AJX and Twiggy, Joe Carner's team, Tortill's team, and Vera's team.
Oh, wow, actually.
Yeah, so the team is pretty big and we do a lot of work. Yeah. Do you have any other TwitchCon stories that you want to talk about? Even if it's not regarding me.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more, but we'll talk about that after.
I remember when you were playing pool and you kicked everyone's ass at the table. I feel like that was really fun.
I forgot about that. That was at the after party, yeah.
I still don't understand how good you are. Like how you were so good at pool. You knocked out every other person there. No, I remember like being on your. Oh yeah, no. None of us ever recovered from that. It was horrible. Yeah. No, but I remember being on your team in pool. It was like you and me versus three other people, and I was just sat there like I'm helping. Well, you did all the work. I remember that after party was so much fun. That was so cool seeing everyone.
It was good. It was nice kind of interacting with you a little bit more as well. I wouldn't say I was amazing at pool. I just played it a lot with my dad. So like I just I'm better than the average player, which made me look like I was goated.
Definitely, yeah. I mean you're talking to someone who's never literally that day was the second day I ever played pool.
So yes, exactly. So
anything above average is like wow, so cool.
I have another interaction that you didn't bring up, and it's the one I remember. I forgot about the pool thing, honestly. Was at the convention. I went to buy alcohol and
you got like, me, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, you was buying your own drink. And I was like, do you want a drink? And he was like, no, yeah, I'm good. I'll get myself. I was like, no, let me get you it. And I don't really know why I did it. I think that entire trip, I was just like, every now and like, for wasn't loads, but sometimes I was buying people drinks and stuff. Just it was my way of, I guess, not making connections, but just being genuine is my way. Is like, I'll get you a drink. So when I said to you, I'll get you a drink, I was like, what are you drinking? I was like, I'm going to get this. And he was like, oh, I don't drink alcohol. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, he was like, oh, I have a Sprite. I was like, yeah, go on then. And then you just disappeared. I was like, this fucking Sprite. Like, I don't want to be holding this now. I was like, where's he gone? And then Chloe was like, they're over there in that big group. So I went up, handed you the Sprite. I was like, okay, bye then, I guess. And then I just walked off, and then I never saw you again then until the after party.
Yeah.
I remember that as well. It was a big group of like your community. So when I was there, I was just like, hi guys, I'm Orbitz. Okay, bye. None of you actually really know who I am. So
I remember, yeah, it was such a hassle moving around the convention, dude, because everyone was like assigned to groups. Like there was all the people that you knew, and you had to keep track of where everyone was, and then sometimes you'd split off. If you split off, you'll like disappear. I remember I went off with a friend during the convention just to walk around the panels and stuff, and we left the big group for like a second, and then it took us maybe 30 minutes to try and find everyone again, because no one's answering Discord at TwitchCon, you know?
Exactly.
Insane, honestly. It was so much fun, though. It was really great meeting you and also meeting a lot of people there. TwitchCon's always, like, TwitchCon's the best, like, motivation start at the end, you know, every year. Yeah, after every single TwitchCon, I always get like the biggest surge of motivation. I think I'm still carrying it. It's been slowing down, but I'm pushing forward. I'm working on stuff.
I talked about this with Pyro yesterday. That podcast comes out 2 days after this one. It's all about like that, just that feeling of boost from TwitchCon. Like you have to capitalize on it. Like I think I've done a pretty good job of like constantly streaming. I said it to people as well. I was like, I'm probably like when I do stream, I'll probably only stream for like an hour a day, which is like fine. Like you guys know this is happening. As long as you don't mind, and a lot of people don't mind. So I go live like today. I think I went for live for like an hour and a half. But then depending on how much work I get done tonight/tomorrow morning, depending on what time I get home, also I might stream for a little bit longer. But you know, people appreciate the streams and stuff, and that motivation from you know TwitchCon has definitely kind of boosted me a shit ton.
Yeah, absolutely. It's boosted me a lot too, if I'm being honest. Like, don't you feel you get that feeling after like a really good stream? It ends and you see like chat saying bye and everything, and you turn it off, and you get that like sigh of relief of just like like all the exhaustion after a stream. It feels great. I have such a love-hate relationship with streaming, man, because I want to do it again. It's so much fun. It is so, like, it brought me so much joy, but I burnt myself out ages ago. I would do 4 streams a week. One was a new event, and it was a lot on. I remember constantly trying to, like, gain the approval of chat, you know, and trying, like, it was a really anxious period of time, because I was always thinking that the streaming career, it's, like, one step away from ending, right? Like I'm one bad move away from losing it all, and like that was a really pessimistic way to think. But that's kind of how I took streaming for a while, and it ruined me. And I left streaming for a very long time in 2022 and a lot of 2023. And only just now have I like in the last few months have I started streaming consistently again and trying to just have fun with it. And man, the difference between like I gotta go, I have a stream planned right now, and I'm gonna stream, you know, for the hell of it, like just for to have fun with chat. That is such a wide, and I always pick the latter. It's so much more fun, and I feel like you get a much more genuine audience as well when you're just streaming to have fun and do what you love rather than it feeling like an obligation.
100%. I love streaming so much. It's nice. I mean, I think it's become a lot easier nowadays because I have like more consistent viewers. Like for a while, I mean, I've always had people watching and stuff, but I, as you can imagine, I quite like talking. So I thrive a lot more on stream when I have a chat talking to me. So when like people like, and I'll just name drop it, like Vegetable or the Shiny Dude or like other people, like even sometimes Pepper, my mod, my only mod, are sometimes like typing in the chat. Like it helps boost me a bunch, like so much.
Yes, it's those regulars, like they really keep you going. I have one guy, I don't even think he'll listen to this, but his name is Hammer Time, and he has shown up to every stream for years. Even when I take like a massive break, I come back one day, unannounced stream, maybe like I'll stream at 2 a.m. unannounced, just like randomly he'll be there. He's like, yo, what's up, DJ? Every time it's him and another guy called Floppa, and they're my two goats. They'll never leave.
That's sick. Well, I said this to someone in a call earlier, and I think I actually said it to my stream chat. As like a, the thing about like MCC Rising as well is you guys, I will always remember you guys as being here first, right? So like when, like if I get into Rising, of course chat's gonna get busier and this is gonna get busier, right? But you guys are going to stand out to me because you've always been here. I said, but that doesn't make you guys any better. Just because you knew me before other people knew me doesn't make you better than them. But of course, I'm still going to appreciate you guys as the people who knew me before I got into Rising. I said, but it's not someone else. It's not everyone else's fault that they didn't know who I am. I'm still thankful for it kind of thing.
Yeah, it's so important, at least. Like, and the thing is, I say that, like, oh, it's really important to remember the first chatters, but I don't think I could forget them.
It's different when someone comes into my chat and goes, exclamation mark follow age, and they're like, oh my God, I've been following for 2.5 years. I'm just like, yeah, but you just sent your last chat message 2 years ago. Like,
oh, yeah, no. It's not, if it's like an older person, they just came back, like, nah, that doesn't.
It depends on how much people, I cared about the people who stick around. Like some people go, oh, yeah. Do you remember me? And I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry. Like not in a rude way, but why would I remember you?
It is just text on a screen. Yeah. It's what's important is the people who constantly show up. Those people, I'm just happy that they kind of enjoy what I'm doing. And I've changed my content so much in the past few years as well. I went from those big events to more like survival play. And now I'm doing development streams where I'm just coding and I'm just like making a plugin on stream and I'm taking ideas from chat and I'm doing all this fun stuff. And for some reason, they stuck around, which, you, I really respect that. It's it makes me feel a lot more secure in that I can sort of do content. It's really fun.
That's what you get for working so hard. You said your old content is streaming, like streaming events and stuff. What events are you on about?
Definitely not the same type of events that happened today. They were like one day little small events that I developed myself. Like definitely not at all like good events. Like it's not something that I would advertise today. But even just the smallest thing, like guys, today we were doing Minecraft, but you know, like actually, hold on, I can literally bring up my Twitch tracker and find some of the old, but I'd do like maybe Minecraft, but whoever mines the most blocks wins. And it'd be, I just code, like literally it would take 2 hours, even an hour, just code like a small scoreboard that shows how many blocks someone's mined, and then they get into the server, mine blocks, you know? And then it's like, just from the pure force of like game design and just having a scoreboard on screen, people go insane, you know, just literally having that, like, person who mines the most blocks wins. You have people making golden shovels. You have people getting like a ton of trying to grind for haste on enchantment tables. Trying to grind for efficiency on enchantment tables. People trying to find out how they can get haste. Some guy tried to speedrun a beacon, but we found out he was X-ray, so we had to get rid of him. But he had the right idea.
It was
nice. I love game design and game design and events specifically. And I feel like these mini events that I used to do in the past, this is what spearheaded me into working in bigger events. Now it's been really fun. I used to also do like 100 player Skyblock, where I'd just give them a platform and then it'd do like a civilization sort of like a fun thing, where they'd build their own houses and they'd build their own community and all this like cool stuff would happen. I did, I would do like, this is like back in 2021, but I'd do like manhunts as well. And I try to make them interesting, where instead of just everyone's trying to hunt me, I'd do something really dumb where I'd be like, we need what is it? 5 people to lead the hunters. And I'd build a small hut like in the world, and I'd hold like applications and people would come in and interview to be a hunter. And then, like, we'd have... I always loved that. It's my stream style is very inspired by Doug Doug. If you, like, Doug Doug, Michael
Doug
Reeves.
Doug Doug, yeah, the... chaos, yeah. It's like that thing is a pepper. But it looks like a pepper anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he actually inspired a lot of what I did. He's also another programmer, and he would program, like, custom stuff and mods to put in the game so people could do, like, Twitch plays or people could play the game while in chat and, like, try and fight him and all this, like, really cool stuff. But yeah, a lot of them are lost to time, and that's another thing I regret, that so much of this fun content that I used to do is now just streams. Like, I could have transformed a lot of these into videos. But at the same time, I'm kind of happy I didn't, because I really, as fun as a time it was, I really don't. I was having fun at the time, but I really don't kind of want to push it. It's not something I ever want to do again. It was a cool little stretch of content that I did, but making project, making bigger scale stuff, making a massive, like, some massive plugin I can put on an event server, or some huge mod that I can hopefully make a video on. Those, I feel, give me so much more fulfillment than, like, coding a quick 2 hour plugin for a server and then having fun with viewers and then it's gone after 2 hours. I think that's, I've really stretched, like, I've transitioned into a lot more long form stuff, and I really hope to, like, push into YouTube as well with that. I know that's what everyone says, like, I'm getting to YouTube, I promise I'll do it eventually, but, like, it is something I really, really want to try.
With that then, touching on the coding and dev work and all that, what is it do you do now? Because I was honest with you before the podcast, I've done a research on you, but it's hard to do research on Dijon mustard without getting all the food or continents, is it called? So what is it in regards to, like, coding and devving and stuff that you do?
Yeah, for sure. I'm right now, as of now, I'm an SMP. I work a lot in SMPs. I've coded for Lifesteal in the past. I'm the current, like, manager for Infuse SMP, Strength SMP as well. I worked on Genesis SMP when that was still happening. I did a little bit, like, just a smidge of work on Eclipse SMP as well when that was a big thing. I mostly just program for, like at least for now, I work on these massive SMPs and try to make sure that the game design and the plugin work so that they are, so that it's all coherent in video, so that all the players are having fun together. I work closely with the owners to make sure that their server makes sense on a game design perspective and also on a technical perspective. I work to make sure that, you know, the players aren't, like, finding exploits and doing really stupid stuff. It's been fun. It's definitely not, like, it isn't my main focus. Obviously, my main focus right now is working on my own project, this big zombies project, which I hope to talk about in a bit. But it's been really fun sort of seeing the back end of these servers and having my services available, like, for hire to work on making these already, like, really popular servers even better and program everything that goes on behind them. It's been cool. And then I've also worked on a few charity events for some friends. Very basic, like, Minecraft minigame stuff. It's been cool. It's been good practice for me. And honestly, I love kind of the back end of, again, pushing Minecraft to the extent, you know, how far can we make this? How good can we make this game design in a Minecraft context? How well can we let this plugin run so that it's, like, accessible to viewers or accessible to players? It's really nice, honestly. And it's really what's pushed me into making, like, my own event.
Great. What are, in a more general sense here, what are some of your favorite memories over time of? And it can be either, like, nowadays, like, recently biased, or even back to the event days, but in regards to, like, coding and all that kind of stuff, what are some of your favorite?
Oh, definitely. If we're going back to the event days, I think the final big, big event I did was this huge Skyblock, Skyblock civilization thing. It was really fun. We had about 150, like, unique players on, which for me back then was an insane amount for, like, a public event like this. It ran for, like, 3 days. I think 4 days, actually. We extended it 1 day because it was really fun. I developed the whole thing with a few, like, really close friends. And it was awesome because we gave players as much freedom as they possibly could. We spent days trying to figure out the game design, making sure that players would have something to do. Players would enjoy the time that they have on. The one thing I always tell myself when I'm developing something, like, public like this is, what is going to make someone send a friend that Discord message and be like, dude, get on this game with me. Like, we need you right now, right? Or just, dude, join this game. This is insane. Like, you're going to lose your mind. That's the reaction I want to get when I'm making a game, when I'm making an event like this, especially these, like, public, sort of these public things that anyone can join. I want to give someone that, like, shock they have. And I really think I accomplished that with Skyblock. It was pretty pretty basic nowadays when I'm looking back on it. Like, obviously, if you look back on an event you did like 2 years ago, you're going to say, yeah, I could have done this better, could have done that better. But at the time, I was really proud of it. And then even now, just being able to work with creators who, for a while, I would like idolize for like people. I would work with creators who, I would literally watch their videos to learn how to edit, right? And to learn like editing concepts. And they're messaging me about like, is this possible? Can we make a mod like this so that we can have this, you know, this event on the server? I can't say too much because it's not like public right now. It's still stuff I'm working on as well, but it's surreal, you know. I think for anyone, if you meet someone who you've been kind of idolizing for a very long time and they want your service, that's like, it really cures the imposter syndrome, you know, like,
yeah,
it's really good validation. And I mean, really fun.
It's even when like, it's like, I have someone on podcast and they message me at like a later date, I'm just like, oh, it wasn't just a podcast, it was still interacting.
It wasn't just a podcast for you.
Yeah, exactly. It was more than that. I get you, because I struggle quite a bit with at least in like, there's like a Discord that I'm in. It's just cool and it's full of some amazing people, but I'm just saying that I'm just like, should I be here? You know, I don't know if it's imposter syndrome or if I actually just shouldn't be there. I don't really do like kind of Discord servers, but it's okay. I enjoy anyways.
It's imposter syndrome is the worst. I still feel it.
What was your work on life still then? In depth here for timestamps. What was that?
I'd say it wasn't as deep as the other ones, but it was fun. I made the season 5 plugin. I made the, I tried to make sure that Radoons reached out to me to make a new plugin for the new season. I think the biggest priority was that like there were no bugs. Oh, I actually have a funny story with that. Yeah, it's like the biggest priority was that there were no bugs, like at all, because, you know, people are really tired of the whole, I used an exploit in this server and all that. And I think Lifesteal season 4 ended with this massive glitch that Spoke found. So there was a lot of pressure just to make sure it was really, really foolproof. The Lifesteal plugin, in a sense, isn't hard. Honestly, any like sort of mid-level developer could do it. It's very easy. It's just you kill someone, you get a heart. You die, you lose a heart. Pretty simple. But it was fun to make. I made it in a few days. I sent it over. And then the day after, I had to leave for TwitchCon Paris. And it was the most terrifying thing, because usually I'm around for the start of a server. They test it a lot. And I'm there testing just to make sure, you know, absolutely nothing goes wrong on launch. And the fact that I would be like miles and miles away from my PC at TwitchCon the day that it starts, like the day that the server starts,
rough.
it was terrifying, man. It was so scary because I really didn't want to fuck it up. It went well, thankfully. Nothing too bad happened. I even made like a cryptic tweet the day I started, before I started developing. I basically just said like, oh guys, I'm making a video. I can send you the tweet link here. But I basically said, guys, I'm making a video where I need to find all the bugs on Lifesteal. Let me know. And a bunch of people responded. Even like Lifestealers responded with bugs that were on the server. And I literally just used that as bug testing so that I could patch everything.
Snoo riddle.
Yeah. Oh, the frog. It was fun. It was definitely, it definitely wasn't that difficult. And it was fun to work with them. And also Radoons is just a really good person to work with. I've made other like data packs and plugins for him in the past, and it's really fun, honestly. He's like, a lot of the people on that server are very, very good at commissioning. Like they have a really good history with it.
Yeah. You cheated the system, paid off, and you know, you got another gig. It's good. You're building your resume.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. I definitely don't think it was the most impressive thing I've made. I don't want to give myself too much credit on that. It's cool to say I worked on Lifesteal, but it was definitely a simple plug. Like, compared to the other stuff that I've worked on, it was a good stepping stone, is the thing. It's weird to call Lifesteal a stepping stone, but it was nice. It was fun to work on, and it gave me a bit of experience as well on being absolutely sure that there are no bugs over. And those skills kind of transferred into the really strict like testing that I do on plugins now. Like, ask anyone who's commissioned me. I am such a stickler for making sure that these things get tested. Because the thing is, I get super worried on server launches as well. Because sure, I can do everything in my power to make sure that this event, this server goes well. But if the plug, you know, if the person who commissioned, if the owner or whatever, maybe hasn't done their job in something, or maybe like has done something late or whatever, that reflects on me, right? Like if a server launch goes terribly, sure, they're going to blame the owner, but also I'm behind that. Like I'm the one managing the server. This is my plugin. This was my work. And so it stresses me out so much anytime someone's about to start an event or start a server that I've worked on, because it's like, damn, I hope this goes well. Like I want it to reflect well on me.
Recently, you joined the Showtime time SMP as a player.
Yeah, that was fun.
Little switch up, how's that feel?
Yeah, it was cool. It was the first time I joined something without, like, not in a developer sense in a really long time. Honestly, the reason I did is because a lot of my friends are on there, a lot of people who I knew. And also, like, storytelling, lore, cinematics was kind of muscle I haven't flexed in a really long time. And it was cool. It was cool to join that. I love editing. I love cinematic editing. You can tell that. It's my pinned tweet on my Twitter, the Portal video. That's still one of the most, like, it's still something I'm really proud of making. A lot of other things that I've worked on in the past with lore SMPs. Aragon, actually. Aragon invited me to a massive lore SMP called Nations. I think it was, like, late 2022. I made so much for that. So many just random cinematics and, like, fun, just, like, fun, stupid stuff to put at the start of stream. I remember working, like, day and night on this really good, like, starting soon screen that I wanted to make. And it was just a starting soon screen, but I really tried, try hard at it, try to make it really good. And Showtime gave me a cool avenue for that. I play partly one of the server's villains, I think I can say. I don't know, it's all very morally gray on that server. Everyone's kind of, like, everyone's got their own stuff. But it was really fun. I play this evil, sadistic dude who's trying to kind of, like, he's trying to, like, not really rule the universe, but he's trying to drain it of all its power and try to study it and try to... Because in the Showtime lore, it's, like, this sort of pocket universe outside of all the other universes that, like, collects people who are going to make a good show, kind of. It's difficult to explain. I think there are about, like, two people in the world who know the full Showtime lore. Like, it's convoluted.
I still don't get what Showtime is, though.
It's a full lore server. Lore is the whole gimmick. Everyone makes a story, basically. The lore is that this one god has come and collected all these characters that are supposed to be, like, they're supposed to be, like, entertaining. And he got all these people into one server to be entertaining. It's kind of funny because it's kind of a dig at, like, content SMPs. In a funny way, it was like, I'm gonna get all these entertaining people and put them in one place and hope they stay entertaining. But, like, it's and, like, a lot of stories have been built from that. A lot of people built their own lore. People try and keep track of the lore. God save them. Like, it's the most convoluted, like, time travel craziness ever. Concha is, like, insane for it. He's one of the bigger, like, creators on the server. But I've made my mark on it, and it was really, really fun. I played a really cool character. I don't want to spoil anything if Showtime viewers are listening, but he comes back for a pretty important thing, and then I think that's it for him. Yeah, it's a special thing. Yeah, it'll happen in, like, a few months.
Jesus, okay, you guys are already prepped ahead.
Yeah, Concha's got it. Concha's got his timeline.
I mean, I say that inside MC, like, gets booked in until the end of the month, so
yeah.
I also like to be prepared in a sense.
Yeah, Showtime's really fun. It's something that I'm really happy I contributed to it. It got me to flex a lot of, like, creative skills that I haven't touched in a long time. And honestly, like, I don't know if I'll join another server as a player in a while. Maybe if it's, like, something with some good friends. But to be honest, that's, like, not something I do anymore, really. It's I've kind of left content as just a pure player of Minecraft and more kind of moving into creating things, right? Like, making things within the game, kind of. If you know, like, Fundy, Dr. Rat, Dug, again, Pirate Software, even. Those are, like, my biggest inspirations, making things within the game. Even Mysticat as well. I don't know how I forgot them. That's, like, what I aim for, at least when I make. I want to make things that people will look at, right? Like, things in the game people look at and be like, there's no way that's in Minecraft. Like, there's no way that works in the game. And I've got some pretty cool things that I'm already making now and things that I've already made that have somehow impressed people. So
you've made some, like, pretty really cool exciting. Original mods, I swear. I can't remember what they are, but I know you've done, like, what are some of the stuff you've done? Screw it, but slap it here for us, because I want to learn more about this whole dev work. I love it.
Yeah, thanks. Yep. I've done a lot of like, really simpler things, mostly for servers as well, but things like the Gmod, the gravity gun, well, I've put that into the game. Like, portals as well. Portals is you'll find 100 portal mods on Modernth, but it's something I wanted to exercise with as well. I've made a lot of plugins I've made actually were, like, inspired by Showtime in a way, because I saw struggles that other people's work were I saw things that other people were struggling with, and I decided that I wanted to make something to sort of fix it. So I made, like, a survival mode replay mod thing where any player, you know, without like without a camera account, without an op player coming in and giving them spectator or whatever, can make like a replay mod recording. Like you could place down two keyframes as blocks and then record whatever you'd like in the world. I've also made like particle editors as well for the game. If you notice, the particles and sounds in Minecraft are horribly disorganized. They're organized alphabetically and there's no good like resource to find them. So I made some good tools as well too, for map makers, data pack makers, like even like some plugin makers who use the vanilla sounds, just to sort through those when they're making their maps, when they're making like texture packs, to be able to get specific sounds that they need, specific particles, and arrange them however they want. Even one thing I'm actually working on now, it's not finished, but I'm working on a website just to really easily make texture packs, because I am astonished and amazed that that doesn't exist already. Like a texture pack generator, like something you can just put, you know, like something you can just put textures in or images in and it gives you a finished resource pack. There is one that exists by NovaSkin, but it's really bad. Like it only lets you retexture like very small sort of like, it only lets you retexture the blocks themselves. It doesn't let you do anything with custom entities or block bench or whatever. So I'm working on that. Mostly a lot of small plugins and mods I'm making right now are quality of life improvements to make creating easy. I didn't intend for them to like have that theme, but somehow they've kind of done that.
I don't want to look into getting into it. What's some advice
you have? Yeah? Oh, for what?
For anyone who's looking to get into like doing what you do, or like if they want to start off and learning, etc. What's some advice?
Definitely for I guess like Minecraft development's interesting because you can either start in Minecraft development and then you won't understand anything else, like any other programming concept, or you can start learning general programming. And then you can start learning general programming concept, and then you're going to have to learn a lot before you get to Minecraft. It's weird. It's not really a learning curve. It's more of just like, it's more of a learning mountain that has had like an earthquake in it. So there's like a shit ton of just random cracks that go up. Like what I'm trying to say is it's really confusing because there are parts of Minecraft that are so easy to learn when you're coding. And then some parts like Fabric that just like make you want to completely quit. It's tough. But I'd say if you want to start, there's two routes you can take. It's either if you know programming already, or if you are going in completely blind. If you know general programming, if you've like used Python in the past, if you know how to code even just a little bit, the first thing to do is I definitely learn Java. It's not that hard. There's so much Java hate on the internet. I'm the biggest Java defender in my friend group, and it's so hard. Like this little language is trying its best, man. It can be really good sometimes. Like I get why people hate on it. The syntax is weird. It's tough, but I like Java. It's my little guy. I grew up with it. And honestly, it's not that difficult. The syntax is just very, very stupid. How Java works, like, internally is actually... But yeah, if you know coding already, just learn Java and then import Paper or Fabric into the project that you're working on. I definitely recommend Paper because plugins are a lot easier to make than mods. I've made a few mods in my time and they're really tough, especially when you work on Fabric, because you have to work with mix-ins, you have to work with a lot of like Minecraft raw code, but they're possible. It's another just like stepping stone that you have to get over. But I'd say, yeah, if you already know coding, you just learn Java and then import either Fabric or Paper, use as many tutorials and, you know, ChatGPT and random videos as you can online. Every programmer Googles their way through their hardest troubles. So just pick something that you want to do. If you have an idea, of what plugin you want to make, even if you just want to make something really simple, you want to make like a gun plugin. You want to make something where, trying to think of like a really stupid idea. You want to make like a car in Minecraft. You want to make it so you can drive boats on land and they go fast. Or you want to make it so when you're holding a sword, it gives you strength. Like as simple as possible. Just try and make it. Google your way through the things that you don't understand. And then eventually you're gonna get to a point where you understand it. There are so many parts of Paper I still don't even get. And there are even more parts of Fabric that I don't get. And I've been doing this for years, you know? Honestly, you just kind of research your way through problems. I'd say like that's honestly how I think people should learn coding in general. There's no reason to just stick to tutorials. Just pick a project. Like, trust me, just pick a project. Some random stupid idea you have. Even if it's been done before, just say, I want to make X, and then Google the shit out of it. Google your way through it. Make a prototype.
You want to make the brownie Twitter? Yeah. What?
You want, huh?
You said I want to make X. I thought it'd be funny to...
You want to make... Oh, yeah, X. Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny because, like... The rebrand, it's funny because...
Yeah. It's funny because Elon Musk.
Yeah, exactly. Like, ha ha. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. No, but yeah, it's like, if you just want to make whatever, you just start the project, and then you're going to finish it eventually. You just Google your way through all the problems that you have. That's the easy route. That's if you know how to code. If you don't know anything about coding, if you're at like zero level knowledge, I don't know. This is dangerous because I don't want to put people off, but I wouldn't suggest doing Minecraft as your first thing. Like, don't think I have zero coding knowledge, I'm going to get into Fabric, right? You're going to hate yourself. It's going to be really tough. It is possible. It's very possible. If you know nothing about programming, you don't know what a variable is, you don't know what a for loop is, function, anything, I would say it is pretty easy to learn. Start even just something like a very simple language like Python. You can use tutorials online. You can, again, use the strategy that I just said. Think of making a project, Google your way through it, right? There's a GitHub repository of about 1,000 different project ideas and tutorials on how to make those projects. Follow those. And eventually, once you get the core concepts down, once you feel like you have a grasp on how to code, and even just the fundamentals of like object-oriented programming and, things like classes, things like, I'm listing off like pretty basic things, but things like inheritance, like polymorphism in programming. Once you get an idea of those concepts, it's like random concepts.
I know what you mean. I've been a coder for about 10 years, so I love the mustard mod.
Yeah, I made that
in Dijon.
Yeah. No, but yeah, like once you get an idea of like really basic concepts, then yeah, go for it. Learn Java. Java honestly isn't that much of a step. It's just a little bit more confusing. And then go ahead and learn Paper or learn Fabric, either one, and just take what you want. It's the same philosophy of any creative project, honestly. It's just think of something you want to make, figure out how to make thing, and then make the thing, right? Like, and if you have the reason why I suggest plugin development first, I mean, there's a bias there. I'm a big plugin man, but the reason why is because there's a lot of documentation on plugins. There is so much stuff online about Bucket and Spigot and Paper. It's been around longer, so there are like 1,000 different forum posts on how to do something. Like, chances are, if you have an issue, you can just Google how to do this and then put Bucket at the end, and there will be a Bucket forum post of someone who had the exact same problem as you like 9 years ago, and there's like a solution right there. So it's a lot more supportive, I'd say, Bucket and plugin development. Fabric is more powerful because obviously it's mods, but it's newer and there's a lot less information on the internet, so it's a bit harder to get answers to problems. But even then, there's the Fabric Discord, there's the Paper Discord. Ask around if you have any developer friends. Even if no one you know can code, you can go into these Discords and ask people. They have dedicated channels, people learning how to code and for asking really stupid questions. There's really nothing stopping you. I feel like everyone should at least know the basics of how to program something that they want, because it's a really powerful tool as a creator as well. I feel like a lot of the advantages that I had in my early years of streaming came from that, very basic knowledge of how to make a small plugin, how to make a small server, how to make a small event like that. That is something that is so rare nowadays, you know. Even like Noah from EVNT tweeted out like a little bit ago.
PikaClicks,
yeah. They were looking for, they were looking for both artists and developers, and we're having a lot more trouble finding developers because they're a lot more rare. And I really think even if you just have like a very basic knowledge of programming, of just how to integrate that into your content, Minecraft or not, you know, it's a really, really impressive skill. I like as a someone in CS, not even just as a Minecrafter, but just as someone who is probably going to be programming for the rest of his life, I feel like in the future, eventually everyone is going to learn at least even the basics of learning Python or learning how to like make their own software, make their own app. It's such a useful skill. It's something that I think everyone should at least try.
There we go. Oh, very, yeah. Very good. Yeah. Thank you.
Now I got to see you do it, man.
Oh, for that, man. I'm sorry.
I need to see your mod in like 2 months. Let's go.
I'd absolutely love to. I am just too busy, sadly. I got so much to fucking do. Sorry. None of that for me. Apologies.
98% of like motivation for all programmers comes from Pirate Software. He's the best. He's literally every stream, he's just like, make something. And then like someone will make an excuse and be like, oh, but I can't pay my employees. Like, make a game. make a game.
My excuse is pretty valid because of Inside MC. I do like...
No, that's valid. I'll give you that. Yeah.
So no, but I'm just saying, like, away with it. No, yeah. I know what you're saying. I know you're not talking about me. I'm just saying I feel like I can get away away with it, which is good.
You're fine. You're already doing something like really impressive anyway. Aww. Even just, I mean, even creatively, dude. Not even just through programming. Just make things.
Just do That's something, my... man. In the field. You get your name out there. You get people watching you. Get
it's, yourself It's literally known. My, it's the first thing in my bio, dude. Just make things. Just make something. You can do it. It's not hard.
Followed by the fact that you're a big fan of the Irish.
Exactly. I'm actually like half my closest friend group. Or just Irish. They're just Irish people.
Did you know I'm half Irish?
Are you? Then I love half.
My dad is full Irish. And whenever like I have like Americans like at work, if there's like one comes in and they're American, where is your accent from? I really can't pick up on it. I'm like, it's only other people from like who aren't English who can understand I have an accent. I don't know if you've had it, but maybe people who are in England who aren't English can always pick up on. But
I could tell it was slightly English. I couldn't place down where it was from though.
Yeah, half Irish. So.
No, I was gonna say I have a large history of. really close Irish friends. I'm literally looking at them all. They're actually all in a VC right now.
Oh, shit.
Every single Irish. It's this friend group I have. I mean, they'd kill me if I didn't mention them on the podcast. I love Ozmandia. It's a close friend server that I have. It's got some of the best people that I know. They're they're all really cool, man. They're all the best. They're genuinely just like some awesome close friends that I always play games with. None of them are creators except for one. Shout out to Extaquatic, best hoplite creator ever. none of them make anything. None of them are like in the space, but we all just hang out all the time. They're some of my closest friends. I met them through Twitch. We all met like through each other's chats and everything. And they're the best. They're honestly like they were also a massive part of the Nations SMP that I mentioned earlier. Aragon's big server. That's another reason why we're all like still so close, because we all literally met on that server and we had all these plans to do this stuff on the server, and we like dominated. We had so much fun like just getting on every single day on Nate, fucking around. And I guess that kind of leads back into what I was saying earlier. It's just find the people who you're close with, man. If anything, right? If this community is good for anything at all, it's for finding the people that you feel safest around, the people who you can really like bond with and have fun with. And if anything will come out of content, if I will delete my account tomorrow, the thing I'll be most thankful for is that I found them, you know, including everyone I've met outside of that too, like Aragon and Nuke and Bit and everyone, like all the people I've been able to work with. Just the connections you make, I think, are some of the most important things in this like community. That was a bit of a ramble for a second, but I think they would have genuinely killed me if I didn't bring up that Ozmandia is the best on the podcast.
Why the name?
Yeah. Oh, Ozmandia?
Yeah.
It is really stupid. So, Nations, we had to all pick like a group name. So, Aragon's nation was Fion. I think Wade's nation was like the Titans. It was like these badass names. And I was really into Breaking Bad at the time.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Yeah, still am. So, it was Ozymandias, like the poem. And everyone thought that was really, like, really cool. Like, oh, Ozymandias, like the Percy Shelley poem. Yes, yes. And I didn't have the heart to tell them that it was a Breaking Bad episode. And I only really revealed that later. But then I saw the Ozymandias poem and I read and it was like badass. It was really great. And I decided to base our lore off of it and like on the server. And actually what's funny is my character on Showtime is the same character from that like Nations world, like of Ozymandia. I still like I had to carry that forward. It's like a group that really means a lot to me. And it's the name's pretty funny because it's like Ozmandia and it's a Breaking Bad reference, but it's just the one we kind of stuck with for so long. And we're still adding people to it to this day. Like it's just a cool group. They're all playing Valorant in there right now and they're pinging me to join.
Oh, well, I won't hold you for too much longer then. So that way then you can go and join them and play some Valorant.
It's okay. I don't even play Valorant.
Well, still, I won't hold you for too much longer because it's getting late anyways and dinner and stuff.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I have one more question then, and then we'll get into the Twitter questions. Mm-hmm. And once again, timestamps. Whoa, we love timestamps. What is the gun Minecraft gun thing you're working on?
Zombies. Yeah, it's great. It's pretty cool. It's a do you show visuals on the podcast?
I do not, because firstly, if you're listening on Spotify, I feel bad if you're missing out, and secondly, I can't be bothered to.
Hi Spotify,
you get to watch
listeners.
You get to watch us on, if you're on YouTube, you get to watch us move around in our little chairs and talk and shit, but no on-screen visuals. Sorry, I can't bother.
No, that's cool. I want to know if I could send a thing. But basically, it's I'm working
can,
on
people
a...
People can check it out on Dijon Devlog on Twitter anyways.
Yeah. You know that... Oh my god, I didn't even mention the Devlog. Yeah. I guess that's a good place to start. If you want to see more of it, it's on @DijonDevlog on Twitter. It's where I post updates on zombies. But Zombies is a massively multiplayer Minecraft server that I'm working on. That is a recreation of Call of Duty's Black Ops 3 Zombies mode. If you've played any of the Call of Duty Zombies games, you'll know how much of a cult following those things have. They are so good. They're so well designed. They have, even just personally, it is my most played, like Black Ops 3 is the most played game I have on Steam. It's something I played throughout my childhood. I think every Middle Eastern person you will meet has a canon event where they were playing Black Ops 2 with their cousins. Like, I'm telling, like, that's a bet. I'll put like as much money on the line. If you can find me a Middle Eastern person who hasn't played Black Ops 2, Black Ops 2 Zombies with his cousins back when they were young. Every single person I know who's really close to me IRL is also close to zombies. And so that makes it like this really, really big part of my history that I want to bring to Minecraft. And I want to show people how well designed this game is. Even if you've played Zombies in the past, you know how much fun it is. You know that it's a really, really unique game. It's not just another Zombies game. It's this weird roguelike sort of it's got these fantastical elements to it. It's the Easter eggs that you can get in the game. It's such a unique part of gaming history. And I thought it would be so much fun to try and code that into Minecraft. And now we're really, really far into production. We've got gun models that we're prepping for the resource pack. We have a whole engine that I've designed. I'm getting other developers as well. We just secured funding as well to get the server like running. And when it's all done, the big vision is that you can join the server. All you need is the IP, you join on the latest version, and you can just play zombies. No mods, no anything, no previous downloads.
I will be streaming that.
Yes, please do. You can just join, you can get with your friends, and you can play a full like zombies game mode. Full up with Easter eggs and everything. We're importing a lot of the Activision maps as well, the Treyarch ones specifically. So like, you know, Der Toten, Duris, Reisendrach, all of those are like legendary maps in the community. And we want to bring those in. I think it's really fun because...
What's that this, one map? What's it called again? The one with the fucking fire on the ground and the bus.
Transit. Yeah,
we need Transit. Like legendary too.
We're probably going to get Transit in. Yeah.
You have to. It's the only map.
It's the map, dude. Yeah.
That's like making a Call of Duty game or a Black Ops game and not having bloody... the one with the car, the pink car. What's it called? It's called...
Nuketown?
Nuketown. Yeah. Why is that slip my mind?
Yeah. Exactly. Nuketown's actually also on the list.
Oh my god. That's so sick. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Wanted to kind of play Minecraft with guns. I just never have because I can't be... I'm not very clued up with the whole mod stuff, right? Every time I add mods or whatever, I have to get someone to help me because I'm just a little bit incompetent.
Yeah, it's like Minecraft's relationship with guns is really interesting because there are a lot of really, really good mods for it. Like, especially good mods. Mr. Crayfish's gun mod is like the gold standard. There's also another one I can't remember the name of. I completely can't remember the name, but it's another one that's extremely good as well. It's got its own like custom HUD and everything. But what I don't like about those is one, they're all mods, which mean that like they're version locked. So if the uploader ever like decides they don't really give a shit anymore, that becomes locked. It's also just heavy. A lot of gun mods are really, really hard to run on like older PCs. And also, I mean, at the end of the day, they're mods. It's like, I mean, try and get like a server full of creators to all download a mod pack. You understand that it's like hell. So it's really, really fun for the idea it has. And they've kind of revolutionized guns anyway in Minecraft, but I've never seen a server do it. Closest one that I've seen is a Gun Colony, which is really, really good. I will give them credit. It's especially good in how they handle like recoil and everything. If you, if anyone's listening, and even always, if you want, Gun Colony one day. It is amazing. It is so good how they actually handle all that vanilla. And we're actually literally working with some of the Gun Colony developers to get that like smoothness into zombies once it comes out. The whole point is that nobody's really made something like this in the past. Like, it's such a simple idea, just Minecraft with guns, but no one's been able to make it work on such a smooth level that at least I'm kind of envisioning. I really want to make it the best. Going back to like that vision of, I want someone to join and be like, there's no way this is Minecraft, you know? Like, make it really, really cool.
I'm really excited to see what you got. I'm really, really excited to see what you got with it. It's so cool.
I talk a big game, but I gotta get off my ass and like work on it. It's a big project, and like a lot of us are really excited for it. I think like Minecraft has a really funny relationship with guns too, because guns were banned in the EULA for a long time. Any lethal weaponry. So that's why you don't see a lot of gun servers. And if you do, they're cracked. But with recent news that I can't really talk about much because it's pretty confidential, I'm talking a lot with these like gun server owners. Due to a lot of changes in legal like stuff that I completely don't understand, there is a like big future for gun servers and like marksman servers and these kind of like more mature servers on Minecraft. So hopefully Zombies finds a place in that. We'll see how it goes.
I remember Hypixel had guns like the detection pack at least, and then
Oh, Hypixel Zombies is one thing that people mention. I'm like, that's not Zombies.
It's not the same thing. I'm just using this example.
For the guns and stuff, like,
it got changed.
Someone will send me every once in a while to send me like, hey, this other server's doing guns. And I'll get on and it's like Stone Hose. And it's like, no. Like, this isn't, like, Minecraft's evolved past this.
With that then, unless you have anything else to talk about, we'll move on to the Twitter question.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's about everything, yeah.
Maybe he's done a really good job. And when the thing comes out, who knows, you might even be able to come back on.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe if he'll have me, yeah.
No, I just suggested the idea, but I actually don't want you to come back on, screw you.
Oh, yeah, no, so. I get it. Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
So, the first question then comes from The Amazing Aragon. What the? I think we sort of covered this. Ooh. I mean, we covered this in like a general sense, but we might, by this question, we might get a different answer. Firstly, they said, yes, huge win for the Dijon community. They were talking about the city, not you.
I know.
Yeah. What has been your favorite Minecraft project so far, in brackets, that you've been in? And you can't say MCC Rising just yet.
Ooh, that's good. That's honestly a good question.
That's a good little bit.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll see. We're both gonna get in Rising. When this comes out, it'll be great. We can. honestly, I don't know. That I've been. I guess like if you're counting things I've developed, like I've developed on favorite event. It's this. Okay. It was this thing that didn't really get off the ground.
Well, no. But they said we already talked about like dev work. I mean, if that's your answer, go with it. That's fine. Yeah. But they just said project. It doesn't have to be dev. It can be SMP. It can be being in the stream. It can be anything. But feel free to if you want to work with that answer, feel free to.
I mean, a lot of projects I have been in, I've been like, I've devved it as well. I would probably be Nations. I think it would probably be Nations. I can't think of anything that has like a bigger impact on my creative like process and also has let me meet so many new people than Nations. It was big because it got me so much. I mean, Aragon and I were already pretty close friends with Nations. After that, it like got even closer. I even met Wade through Nations. I met met Nomad through Nations. I met Orange through Nations. Like so many people. I met no one will know who this is, but I met Little Irish through Nations. He's one of my closest friends as well. I might as well give them all a shout out. I met Rodent, Bulba, Dusty AG. I met Deadzy as well. Just a shit ton of people who like are some of my closest friends now on Nations. And it had such a Nations. I keep telling people Nations had some of the biggest potential of any project. And I feel like if Nations were to happen again, which I really hope it does, it's up to Aragon. It's his project. But if it happened again, I feel like it would, and I'm not exaggerating here, I feel like it would be one of the most like popular, successful servers. It was so unique in its implementation. It was so interesting. We all had so much fun. It's definitely Nations up top for that. I think like maybe a close second would be Showtime, because Showtime was also really fun to be a part of, and I had never really worked on that big of a creative scale, but Nations is pretty far up there.
The next one then comes from Fanji. I always pronounced it wrong. I'm so sorry.
Yes, Kancha. I know this guy.
Oh, Kancha. Oh god, I butchered that. Dijon, how can I build an interdimensional portal and sneak into an SMP based on pure luck only to screw over the life of the local parent?
You can't. It was only me. I did it.
What
Sorry.
SMP was this?
This is Showtime. He's talking about Showtime lore. Showtime. This is how my character got in the server. Yeah, he's like an obsessive scientist, like egomaniac, and he wanted to crack the multiverse, basically. He wanted to rule, like, not rule the multiverse, but he wanted to understand it, because if he doesn't understand something, he's like, he loses his mind. Like, he has to know everything. So he gets a signal from the Showtime universe. He spends years, well, not really years, more like months, trying to build this portal to get in. And then he doesn't know it, but he got in, like, purely through luck. Because at a similar time on the server, some other big lore event was happening, and that caused the multiverse to be unstable. But his, like, the character thinks, like, no, I got in because I'm so smart and awesome. He got in purely through luck. And then he's also really, he really hates Concha. Concha is the local parent that he's talking about. That's literally just me and Concha on the Showtime server. We just, like, hate each other in character. Just trying to ruin each other's lives.
Love it. Sorry, that response was so delayed. And the editor, the listeners are going to realize I cut up. But I took like 5 seconds to process and went, love it.
So, okay.
I do, but I just don't know why I was like a delayed response. Jesus, okay.
No, that's good.
The next one comes from Bulbaclot. I love that. That's such a good name. Oh my god. Yeah
Bulbaclot.
What was your first coded project that you managed to fully complete?
I love
and
Bulba.
Also Bulba's Crimson says Crimson says hi. I just might as well just read that alongside instead of waiting for you to answer. But Crimson said they don't have a question, they want to say hi. Be a gone from Bulbaclot.
Hi Crimson. Yeah, I love Bulba's Bulba's another Ozymandia member. He's a pretty close friend. He's the first project I fully completed. I mean, how far back do you want to go? Because if we say first ever project ever,
that's a question. Managed to complete.
I don't know if I should say this because I don't know if it's private. Because I really don't want people to look this up. I could literally
leave
look
it
right
then. Just say the one you want to say. Don't. You don't have to.
Oh, but it's really funny. It was, I'll private it after this podcast, but it was a really small thing I hosted on my school's website called Dancing Mamas. And it was a animation of just three pictures of my mom. It was three PNGs of my mom, and they all rotated. They would rotate really fast. And on the top of the website, it was flashing colors. It said Dancing Mamas. So that was I was 11. No, I was 9 when I made that.
Okay, now let's do one of like your first professional project.
One of professional, like genuine projects. I think it would be the Slots SMP. Slots SMP was the first one who really gave me a chance because I was a new developer at the time. I made their plugin. It was pretty easy. I look back on that code and I hate myself for it. It was so bad. It was so horribly bad. But at the time, I was pretty proud of it. At the time, it was some like good stuff. And obviously, when you look back at old work, you're going to notice like that it was worse. But it was fun. It was nice. There was another project. It was the Size SMP, but I did not like working on that one. I wouldn't classify that one as finished. That was a really, really bad experience. It was just kind of an SMP that really went off the rails very quickly, and I don't really think that finished. But in terms of SMP work, it would definitely be Slots, yeah.
There we go. And then the final one comes from Dusty. Who or what has inspired you to make all these projects and join all these servers?
Oh, that's a big question. I'd say, from the start, oh my god, I didn't even mention this. I should have mentioned this earlier in the podcast. The reason I even started was because of a really, really close friend. It was, he started streaming 2 months before me. It was during lockdown. Not during lockdown. He streamed before lockdown, but like it really picked up after lockdown. And he revealed to me that he was streaming, and he said he was really embarrassed, you know, because like streaming and all that. And like, it wasn't like a big thing back then. And I thought it was really cool. And I said, why don't I join one of your streams? Like, that sounds so fun. And we streamed together for a while. We streamed together for a few months. And then he quit. He, you know, found other things to do. We're still friends. He's doing like epic. He's doing really, really cool stuff now. But he quit after a while. I kind of like absorbed his audience and like kept doing what I was doing and kept going. He, I definitely think, was like the big inspiration and kind of showed me how fun streaming could be. And after that, it was just a list of inspirations. After that, it was Doug. He was kind of the inspiration for how I wanted to stream, the personality I wanted to have and the creativity I wanted to bring. Then it was, you know, people like Mysticat breaking the game in the coolest ways possible. People like Dr. Rat doing similar stuff. Fun
as
well.
And then Orbitz.
And then Orbitz came along, and he was just amazing.
He
really pushed
me
forward. You were one of the
I made Commandbook tutorials just... like 4 years ago.
he made me realize just how far this could go. He's the reason for all of this.
There you go. And then
it was definitely started with him. I already mentioned how like Redstone was how I started coding, but for creation, it was definitely, I think I can't say its name because privacy, but it was definitely that friend. He was really cool. And then just other creators along the way who kind of showed me how cool it would be.
And there you go, eh?
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see what you got, Dijon, I must say. Very, very thanks, excited. Yeah.
I definitely, I think one of the biggest things I want to work on is making more permanent stuff, kind of taking my own advice there. I definitely did stream for a long time and it was fun, but I want to make something that will like stay, you know, that won't go away when I hit end, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like that's really important for any creator as well.
I think that's what I've done with Inside MC, and just someone said it to me the other day. I think it's Casey Hightail. Or Quebec Corner, to be more precise. I think like it was like as a part joke, but it's also kind of true. Inside MC is essentially like lost media. Like there was like a thing that came out about Minecraft's lost media of like stuff that no one has tracked anywhere. And now Inside MC is essentially this track of we sit down and talk to creators, and in 10, 20 years time, people are going to look back on, hopefully look back on these interviews and be like, damn, that's what, that's like I'm in a non-jokey way here, but like that's what Dijon was working on 20 years ago. Look at where they are now. Or like, you know,
yeah,
kind of interesting.
I feel like, I feel like it could be really cool. Permanence is so important. It's also just so that you can just send someone like what you do, right? That's also why I'm working on this website for now, because until I get some videos out, I definitely want to make videos, but I feel like it'd be so cool to just send someone a link that goes like Dijon.com. It probably won't be that, but like, you know, like DijonMustard.com, and you click on it and it's just all the stuff. It's like I made plugins for these guys, and I did these events, and I did these streams, and these are some clips I have, and it could be cool. This is actually something I've been thinking of too. I'm thinking of because I'm going to make my own first, have fun with it. But if it goes well, I want to open commissions to make websites for other creators. Kind of just have like a hub of everything that you do. I mean, imagine that. Imagine like an orbits.com or like a redunes.com or like a...
Or an like any MC.net.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you guys... Do you not already have like a website? I could have sworn you did.
No, we don't. We have a wiki page. Yeah. Maybe something can work.
No, but I think that could be really cool as well. It's something I want to focus on.
Well, that being said then, that sadly brings the end of this week's Midweek MC. It's been amazing talking with you. Thank you so much.
It's been amazing, dude. Thank you so much for having me on. Really great.
Before I do the outro here, I always like to give you the opportunity for you to promote yourself and what you do and all that kind of stuff. If anyone is interested after this podcast, where can they find you?
Nice. I am on Twitter at Dijon Mustard, but the mustard has no vowels, like Dijon M-S-T-R-D. If you look up Dijon, you might probably find it, hopefully, and you don't get like the condiment. I'm on Twitch at Dijon TTV. I'm also on YouTube. You won't find anything there, but it's at Dijon Mustard. And yeah, if you want to follow the progress on all the random projects I make, Twitter is the best place to do that. And I hope to see you around. And I hope all of you guys like zombies, if that's out by the time you're listening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on when they're listening, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe I'll lock in the next 2 weeks. Really. Just get it out.
Well, this podcast comes out next week. So if they're listening on release, it most likely won't be out by then.
It's okay. I'll really lock in for that one.
Well, thank you so much, Dijon, for coming on. You've been an absolutely amazing guest, and it's been so fun talking to you. With all that, good things come to an end. This has been Midweek MC. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe. Don't eat too much bread. Peace.